I'm Adam Coop. I'm one of the pastors here. Last week, Craig spoke on love narratives. And I went up to him afterwards and I said, I just turned in my resignation because you are now the new teaching pastor. It was awesome. It blew my socks off. It was great. I just said it was awesome and then I said it was great. I think awesome trumps great. So, not trumps Donald, but that means so much different things now. You really trumped that one up. But I thought it was incredible. And so we only have 2 more weeks left in this teaching series. In this teaching series called what? Own Your Stuff. How many of you have been with us from the beginning of this teaching series? Yeah. If you're just joining us, Own Your Stuff is this, basically it's sin. And if you don't know what sin is, it's wrong being in relationship to God, not wrongdoing. And so we said, well, let's teach to this, let's speak to this, and how do we do this? And we decided it's not beneficial for you to actually focus in on individual sins, you know, sexuality, sexual sins of any kind, drugs, drunkenness, hatred, all that kind of stuff. Those are all symptoms of this deeper rooted issue of wrong being with God. So we started teaching to the issue of wrong being. And this week, we just came out of love narratives. Did you guys understand what Craig was talking about last week? Nobody. Craig, when you listen to this teaching, I apologize. I apologize. But this week, we get to focus in on identity. Identity is awesome. If you would look at me on the street, if you're the first time here, and you were trying to identify me and who I am and what I do, what is your first go-to? A what? A tattoo artist? Yeah. A convict? Seriously, though. Seriously, yes. What's out on parole? Caleb Hebert, who leads the music here, he used to work for this company called PSAV. It was this big audio company, and they made him dress a certain way, like a really nice-looking gentleman. Caleb and I would go to lunch frequently with one another, and we'd show up, and we honestly think that people thought anywhere we went that I was meeting with my parole officer that day. It's really fun. So just face value off of identity. That's who we say each other are. I've heard of people and their children when they have to pick out shoes. I know of this one man who picks out shoes and is very, I wouldn't say prejudiced, but very very thoughtful in the way in which he picks out shoes, because he said this type of shoe is identified with this type of person. Do you agree with that? I wear Samba, Adidas Sambas. And why do I wear these shoes? Because they're awesome. You should all wear some. Actually, I wear these shoes because they're almost indestructible. I will wear through the soles before I wear through the outsides of these shoes. So the most bang for my buck is these Adidas Sambas. Adidas Sambas also happen to be the punk rock shoe. You go to any kind of punk rock concert or circle and you see them there. You go to any kind of hardcore circuit circle, you see them there along with other skate shoes. But people will look at those and obviously I don't play soccer. But I love these shoes. And so I started thinking, well, that's funny that he won't buy certain kinds of shoes because he doesn't want to be identified with a certain group or a certain culture or a certain whatever. And so these are some identifying markers. Well, we go deeper beyond the surface level, and that's how we identify with, you know, these tattoos. The reason I have tattoos is because they were born out of the culture that I lived in high school and my college years. I loved punk rock, hardcore, metal music. I played that music in many different venues, and this is a very acceptable form in those circles. No one's crossways looking at you. No one's saying, oh, he must be a tattoo artist or anything. There's nothing like that exists within that culture. And this culture then I love the look. The tattoos, for me, it was like saying, I like that certain t-shirt. I'm going to put that on today. And that's the way tattoos were for me. So we have some of this stuff that comes culturally to us in terms of our identity. We have some of this stuff that comes to us by preference. I like that, so I'm going to adopt that. But deeper than physical, deeper than who we make ourselves up to look like, there is this soul identity. I went to bed last night and I woke up this morning and God totally changed the passage that I was going to teach out of this morning. Oddly enough, it was in Romans is what I was going to teach out of again, and I was just shaking my head when I had all my teaching crafted around that. And I thought, I just can't escape Romans, and Romans is a good book. Romans is written by Paul. It's an awesome, awesome place to be in, to learn from. And at 5:30 this morning, my alarm is set for 6, and I wake up at 5:30 all bright-eyed. It's dark in my room, and I thought, no. And I asked God, okay, why did you wake me up? Because it's not common for me to just wake up before my alarm. Why'd you wake me up? What do you want from me? I started praying for you, praying for us, praying for the day. And he said, you're not teaching out of Romans today, you're going to be teaching out of Ephesians, and this is where you need to go with this. And I thought, great, thanks for changing everything up just a few hours before I have to go teach. Makes me comfortable, makes me excited to get up here and try to offer something, some kind of wisdom. But deeper than our physical identity, deeper than how we identify and how we want people to view us, there is this soul identity. And so often we get that wrong. So often we say yes to Jesus. We say, Jesus, I love you. And we put our faith in Him. And then from that point on, we are at war with ourselves. Because we still try to cling to this old soul identity, which says you can do whatever you want, however you want, and you have nobody to answer to. But identity in the kingdom is not like that at all. If you are a person that has said yes to Jesus and have put your faith in Him, your identity is not like that at all. Can I read Ephesians? Can I read Ephesians? It's out of Ephesians 4. It says this. This is Paul writing. He says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Gentiles were basically anybody that was not a Jew. Jews had the corner on the market on how to worship God, and the Gentiles did not. Okay? And that was false. You know. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Bringing this all back to Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. This old soul identity, we're supposed to take that off. That stays. When we put our faith in Jesus, that stays with the old life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Has anybody seen the new Doctor Strange movie that's out? Where are my nerds at? Give me a woo. Hey, that's a... Are you just nerds or did you actually see the movie? Help me out. Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is this awesome movie. I knew nothing about it until I went and watched it. And there is an article that came out that's written by Jason D. Bradley, who's actually, I don't know if he's a friend or just an acquaintance of one of our people here. But he sent me this article and it was interesting. It's called. It's entitled The Complex Faith of Doctor Strange, director Scott Derrickson, Why He's Hollywood's Most Interesting Filmmaker. And Scott had to say this, instead of just being a film about simply vanquishing an ancient evil, it is a film about the internal battle that we all fight. This idea of Strange's personal and spiritual development seems to spark something in Derrickson as a Christian. A year ago, he tweeted an image of the Sorcerer Supreme. Where are my nerds at? You guys know what that is. With a quote by Thomas A. Kempis, the author of The Imitation of Christ. And Thomas said this, "Who has a harder fight than he who is striving to overcome himself?" He goes on to say, it's about the circumstances they're having to overcome and what they're having to learn, he explains. There have been a lot of good boxing movies in history of cinema, and there's always the top contender that your heroes got to fight at the end. But no good boxing movie is about that conflict. It's really always about an individual finding out who they are, what they're capable of. Are they strong enough to build themselves up to be able to accomplish something like that? I think it is this case. I think in this case, it's great because it's not about physical achievement. It's not about this. It's about a character manifesting himself in physical strength. What? It's not about a character manifesting himself in physical strength. It's really about getting past one's ego and coming to recognize that true growth and true power come from a sense of surrender to something greater than yourself and service to something greater than yourself. I didn't have any spoilers in there for you that want to go see Doctor Strange at all. But I found this interesting that this Hollywood actor, and actually this movie made me cry, which is funny because they had some lines in there, and we went and watched it on a Sunday afternoon, and I just got done teaching the same thing, and those very same concepts were being taught in this movie to a room full of people who may or may not love Jesus. And I just started tearing up because I'm thinking, whoever directed this, whoever wrote this, they get it. They understand it. They understand this struggle. They understand this internal, oh. Last Saturday, or Monday, I don't know, I'm terrible with timelines. Let's just say it happened last week, can we? I was at home. I think it was Monday. You were working, weren't you? Not Monday? Whatever, it doesn't even matter. A day happened. This happened last week. I was at home and I was upstairs and I was playing my guitar. That's what I do. And all of a sudden, this overwhelming sense came over me. And it hit me just right here in the chest. And it was this, you almost could feel like my heart beating and pounding. And what happened was, I had this urge to go back to my old self. I had this urge, you know, Caleb shared a little bit about pornography this morning, about being his go-to, and that was my story. I had this urge to go find some pornography and gratify the flesh. I will put it that way to alleviate all the grossness that comes along with that. And it just welled up right here in my chest, and I was just like, oh. Now, I remember playing guitar, and I remember just sitting there playing and trying to outplay this, like if I just play loud enough and long enough, this is going to go away. It's fine. And it didn't go away. Kept nagging at me and just, ooh, you could just feel my heart. Adam, hey, there's nothing wrong. Your wife's not home. Your kids aren't home. You can do whatever you want. I stopped. I threw my hands up in the air. And what came out of me then was interesting. I started speaking identity over myself. Jesus' identity that He spoke over me. God's identity that He spoke over me that's found within these pages of Scripture. And it was crazy because I thought, what's happening? And usually this happens to me before I teach on anything. God gives me a very personal example of what I need to teach about and how this needs to go about. And I started just speaking this identity over me. God, this is not from you. This is not anything that you want me to do. This is not beneficial. God, this attitude degrades people. This idea that's in my mind right now of what I need to go view and what I need to go do devalues your creation. God, continue to speak life over me and truth. Right after I was done speaking that, it was gone. My chest, my heart finally went back into its normal place. Maybe I was having a heart attack. I don't know. But I get done speaking that and it's gone. And I look around and I'm like, this is interesting. So then I'm starting to have a conversation. We'll just say one of the days last week, a couple days after this happened, and I'm talking to my friend who, his passion, his thing was not pornography, his thing was not any of that, his thing was drugs and alcohol. And he went to AA meetings for a very long time to overcome what's going on. And I'm talking to him and I said, I've never been addicted to drugs. I've never had that at all. But I said, this is what I went through. And he said, that's exactly it. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's what goes on. This craving, this need, this desire to go back to this old identity. And in the moment, it seems completely doable. In the moment, it seems completely, yes, there's nobody around. I'm not going to get caught. What do I care? This won't hurt anyone. No, it's killing me. It's killing myself. And it was incredible how just speaking identity, this identity that I have to bathe in usually every week within Scripture, I got to get up and I got to tell you guys something that happened in the Bible. You guys pay me to do this job once a week. I work one day a week and this is it. So I have to pore over Scripture. That's how I'm able to speak identity over my life. God, I know what you've said. And I know where my heart wants to go, and I can't go there. Why? Because I love you and I have faith in you. And that's a faith that says, Adam, that's your old self talking. Keep walking in my ways. Keep doing what I'm asking you to do and being how I'm asking you to be. Be in right being with me, and you will not suffer these things. There is hope, Adam. Yesterday I spent a whole lot of time, more time than I should have, playing NES. For those of you young kids, that's a Nintendo Entertainment System. I have an original one that I paid hard-earned money for in cash. I saved my allowance when I made 25 cents a week. Shining shoes, no. But there's this game called Mario 3. Incredible game, awesome game, and I don't want to brag, but I'm really good at it. In fact, I hear my buddy's wife is challenging that, and she hasn't once spoken to me about it, but we're going to have a Mario 3 battle. So I'm playing Mario 3, and my son's watching me, and all the while my son is... He was playing a few times with me. We had just passed the same remote around, and we all had, you know, we were all Mario, and we'd all take turns on a level, and if we would die, we'd just pass the remote on. If we won, we'd pass the remote on. And so there was a few times where my son fell off a cliff or something didn't happen, and my son is very much a perfectionist nature. So if he fails in the game that I'm really, really, really good at, he's angry. He inherited that from his mom. No, that comes from me too. That comes from me too, but he's angry and he's hurt because he thinks, you know, as I watch it play out, it's an embarrassment because I almost think to some level he thinks he's failing me because I wouldn't have fallen down that cliff. And so this goes on and a couple times of him being very upset and very angry and even to the point of tears, I just finally said, you're done playing games today. I can't take this. You're not doing well with this at all. So then at like 8:30 at night, I'm already in bed. No. 8:30 at night, he comes to me and he said, Dad, can I please play? Can I please play? And I said, you gonna cry? That sounds way heartless than it was. Are you going to cry when you play? Are you going to get upset when you play? Because if so, I'm not going to let you play. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that, Dad. I'm not going to do that. And I said, great. You can play. Because I figured if worse comes to worse, I'd just say, put it down, go to bed. Get out of my face. That sounded way harsher than it actually was. So then he starts playing, and I start hearing. He started from the beginning of these levels. And mind you, he watched me play this game a lot yesterday. And he's seeing tricks. He's seeing ways on how to beat this game. He's seeing ways on how to accomplish the goal that he wants to accomplish, on how to rack up all this awesome points and how to win. And all of a sudden, he's just out there celebrating. Woo! And he's excited. Yeah! Man, I watched Dad play all day and I know everything now and I'm beating the crap out of this game! And he's pumped. And that floods into my mind at 5:30 this morning. It's beyond Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers is inconsequential on every level. But what I saw is when you watch, when you learn, when you do what you've been shown, you have reason to celebrate. You understand what I'm saying? When you watch and you learn from this Jesus whom you have faith in, and you start putting that into practice, you will start kicking the crap out of this stuff-filled life. Do you understand that? When you watch and you learn and you start putting into practice everything that you've read, the things that God is asking of you, the way He is calling you to be and has designed you to be from the very beginning of your life, you will start speaking a freedom, a life, an identity over you that has been spoken of you since the beginning of time. And there's freedom in that, people. I don't know how else to explain it other than my own personal stories. There's so much freedom in that that will give you cause to celebrate. James Bryan Smith, the author of The Good and Beautiful God, The Good and Beautiful Life, and The Good and Beautiful Community, says this: in the kingdom, which we're going to hear about next week. We're talking about life in the kingdom next week. In the kingdom, we know who we are and whose we are. The need to feel loved, to be important, and to be sacred and special is met in our oneness with Christ. When I set my heart on things above, the kingdom, I discover that I am part of something thrilling and exciting, the divine conspiracy. And everywhere I turn, God is at work. Can I read it again? Come on. In the kingdom we know who we are and whose we are. The need to feel loved, to be important, and to be sacred and special is met in our oneness with Christ. When I set my heart on things above, the kingdom, I discover that I am part of something thrilling and exciting, the divine conspiracy. And everywhere I turn, God is at work. The problem is when we come into this life, this faith in Jesus life, we bring with us this old life. And it's a life of me. It's a life of my. What I love about this series is that every single week somebody different has come into my office or Craig's office or has grabbed us and just said, I don't know what's going on here, but God's uprooting this deep stuff in me and I don't know. This is happening in this community. It's not just a few people. It's this community-wide movement of God. I sat with a gentleman this last week and he went through this story of his life and where he's at. And literally everything he had to say was my, me, my life, my way, my schooling, my degree, my... And he's got some other issues going on too, but I focused in on the spirit of my and me. I said, do you hear this? Do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear how God is not even in that picture? He stopped and paused. He said, I never did until you just called it out. And that's the problem. I'm trying to do all of this on my own. I'm trying to make God fit how I say He fits. I'm trying to make this faith reconcile with my life that I've brought into this life. And it's not working. It's not working at all. And it was beautiful to watch that moment happen. Not for him. He said, I can say these things and it doesn't make it any less painful. I said, amen, I know what you're talking about. Sisters, brothers, you have a new identity in Jesus. Sisters, brothers, you've had this identity since the beginning of time, since God set the world in motion, since God created every single one of us here. This identity has been spoken over you. This identity has been cried over by Jesus Himself. That we would just get it, that we would just understand it, that we would just own it, that we would just be in this right relationship. And as you've heard from my story, there is hope. I never thought that kind of hope was possible. I always used to think that I just had to give in every time that old life came knocking. Well, okay. And it's not this magic, God's just going to take everything away from you that has ever tripped you up. That has happened for some, but that's not the majority of the story. I know a man who's a good friend of mine who told me, I went and I got baptized, nothing changed. So I just kept going to hookers and blow. Well, did you try to live life within the kingdom? Did you even attempt to change how you... No. That could be the it. All you did was drag this old life in and try to have Jesus whitewash it for you, and then you said, it ain't working for me. And maybe that's some of the story that you share. Maybe some of you today gave your life to Jesus and nothing changed, nothing worked, because you didn't let these words wash over your heart. You didn't let these words transform you from the inside out. You didn't let these words speak their identity over you. Maybe some of you did. Maybe some of you gave your life to Jesus and said, yes, I have faith in you. And then all of a sudden, through time, it kind of just beats you down and wears you down, and you've forgotten all of your identity. You don't know who you are. So you start incorporating things, you know, your old go-tos into this Christian life, and it's frustrating and it doesn't work. And you're miserable, and you come here with guilt every Sunday. You live life with guilt every day because you don't allow Jesus to give you your new identity. You don't put that on. There is hope for you, church. There is hope for you, people who have just walked in and this is your first time here. And that hope is Jesus. And with that, Jesus brings a new way of life and brings a way of love and grace and mercy and compassion and thinking of people other than yourselves. And He shows and He speaks to this way of life and He asks that we do it. And once you start doing it, you understand more and more and more. God, this is what you were talking about. This is how life works. I don't want to steal too much of my thunder for next week as we talk about life in the kingdom, but my friends, you have an identity. Jesus is calling you to walk in it. God, we love you. God, we thank you for being a God that is a creator. God, we thank you for being a God that created us. God, we thank you that in the kingdom we know who we are. God, as Jesus speaks this identity to his disciples have written it down. As you continue to speak this identity in times where we have a chance to go back to this old life, God, you make that available through your Holy Spirit, and we are grateful. God, we are grateful for the kingdom that we know who we are and whose we are. God, that you meet our need to feel loved, to be important, to be sacred and special. God, that that comes from you in our right being with you. God, my prayer continues to be that these people, all of us together, choose to lean in as we give up this stuff. The stuff that we've clung to for so long, the stuff that we've clung to that just keeps us down and keeps us back from where you've desired us to be, God, and that we will just shed that. That we will put off that old stuff and put on this new identity as Ephesians talks about, this new self. God, that as we do that, we watch our community change here, we watch our community change here in Laramie. As we take you serious on how to love people. Holy Spirit, speak our identity to us this morning. God, thank you for Jesus and his life lived here. God, thank you for the cross that puts us in right being with you. Thank you for Jesus' resurrection that puts us in right being with you. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks who we are and whose we are, if we will only listen and obey. God, it's in your precious name we pray. Everybody said, Amen.